Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that he's enough.
Hi, I'm Kendra.
I'm Jade.
And I'm Anne.
And I felt
we're all here.
I was going to go in that order. I'm sorry.
Look. Listening to Jade.
I'm sorry. Look, y'all are the makers of this. I'm so sorry.
We have too much fun when we're all in the same studio. That's the problem.
That's the
There's
problem.
Way too much joy
too
and energy.
Much.
I think they know our names.
Yes.
True. If you've been listening for a while.
Well, if you are new, this is Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. And we are a show for couples that struggle with infertility, or maybe you've suffered a tragic miscarriage or child loss. Maybe you're in the process of adoption. We want to go along that journey with you and encourage you along the way. And today we are having a panel discussion. When there's three of us.
There's three of us.
Yeah. Right. And I'm going to actually kind of be grilling both of these ladies on two different perspectives of our topic today. So, yes. So today's topic, we're going to be talking about cultivating your marriage in the midst of everything that we talk about on this show.
And cultivating means growing your marriage.
Yes, we just asked. We were like, wait a minute. Just quick definition here.
Cultivating.
So yeah, so growing, maintaining, making it healthy. Mm-hmm. Because we all know that the enemy wants to use anything he can to tear apart your one flesh union with your spouse.
Like, I love that. He does not like marriage.
Yeah.
He
well, and not. Let's talk about the stats for just a minute, because if you struggle with infertility, that causes a lot of strain and excess pressure on a couple. If you have had a miscarriage or child loss, the stats on marriages that just completely break apart are staggering.
Is it higher than infertility?
Yes. Oh, yeah. It's like, higher. I think it's 90%.
Yeah.
90%.
Isn't that ridiculous? So we're talking about like,
man,
the heat is getting turned up on your marriage when something like this, when you have these great desires. And so just a quick overview, we're going to be talking from some different perspectives today. Jade, you're right in the thick of the infertility journey.
Yeah.
Right?
6 years, going strong.
Yeah.
I can laugh about it now. There was a time I would have said it and I'd have been just breaking up, which I still have my moments. Yeah. But yeah, 6 years.
Well, it's still a sad thing, but you're handling it. You're walking through it.
Thank you. And we recently got, which he does not mind me sharing this, ladies. Also, make sure you always get permission from your husband. But like his sperm count is just, whew. Like, you know, and he does not mind me sharing that. And so, but there are things that we're trying with his doctor to see. And so it's just, and I'm not gonna lie though, because it was recent when we got that, I left out of there and I was just like, Lord, this is just,
it's tedious, it's
and I'm
draining.
Like very draining. Mm-hmm. 6 years in, but we're still looking to the Lord. Yeah. Our story's not over, but in the midst of that, so every situation is different for us. Cultivating our marriage in the beginning was a challenge because he had low testosterone, so he just didn't have a drive.
Yeah.
I did. And I say that because like he was my first. I was a virgin until I met him, and so we had to work through that. But one thing, and through prayer and just learning to get to know each other even more so, because as y'all know, we wanted to honor the Lord. We got married really fast. We only dated or courted for 3 months and we got married. And so there was that time period of
it was very fast.
Yeah. Well you're coming for me, Anne.
Compared to Will and I, 7.5 years in.
Oh, yeah. Well, y'all started when y'all were teens.
I know. We talked about this last week and I was like, I wouldn't necessarily encourage anyone to date for 7.5 years.
Right?
But
the flesh is weak. However long you date someone, the flesh is weak. Am I right, y'all?
For sure.
You're right, yeah.
For sure. Even for people that are longtime believers.
Right.
Well, so that's one perspective. And then the second half of the show, we're going to be talking with Anne. If anyone who's listened to the show recently, you know, multiple miscarriages, but also a recent child loss, which is a whole nother level of like, how do you pull your marriage and how do you cling and maintain closeness with your spouse? So we're going to try to hit both of these in this show. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. We're going to start by putting Jade under the gun here. Okay, so let's jump in.
I talk too much. much right then. I'm so sorry.
It's
about
so
that.
Important. Happy Holy Ghost. You're just helping us give a preview. The teaser. Yeah. They're like, "Ooh, I want to hear her talk about it now, because she's got problems. I got problems." That's what people are thinking.
That is what people think.
Y'all, I've been praying for this episode because I really feel like that there is some spiritual warfare that goes on between couples, and I feel like God might want some people listening to find some breakthroughs today.
I love that.
So Jade, let's just talk about some. What are some of the stresses that you and your husband have had on this journey?
Yeah. So, one of course is his low testosterone. I did not know he had that. He did not tell me. That's a whole another topic for another day. Until we got married, and I can understand now. That's a pretty vulnerable. You know, men have that ego. Yeah. You know, and because. Also, when we were dating, he couldn't keep his head. That's why we got married fast. We wanted to honor the Lord. I'll just put it like that. And so I was shocked. But then also being a stepmom and us being a blended family, so we had that pressure on top of us trying to get to know each other and then finding out that he has the infertility issue. And so there was a verse that there was a period of time that really I was like, I just really want a baby. This is so hard. And I was getting older. I'm near my mid-30s. That's still young, right?
You're still young.
But there was a verse out of the story of Hannah, 1 Samuel chapter 1, verse 8, that has always stood out to me. And it's where Hannah's husband says, "Am I not worth more to you than 10 sons?" And I had to be honest with the Lord and then later with my husband. He was not worth more to me than 10 sons at that time. That's how bad I want a child. That showed me through this Holy Spirit that I was idolizing children. So idolatry, here we go, the definition.
Come on, jump in.
Anything or anyone that captures your heart, mind, and affections more than God. Mm-hmm. I do believe infertility can become an idol. Now, it's like that fine line. Yes, you can hurt over not having a child, but are you wanting that child more than God? Is it capturing your heart, mind, and affections more than the Lord? Mm-hmm. And it was doing that to me some years ago. Mm-hmm. Today, I can honestly say it's not as heavy. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. But it's still there. But the idolatry of it, idolization of it is not as heavy. And so, but just in time, praying. And I will say this, times when my husband didn't feel like being intimate because of the low tea. When we would become intimate, he was in it. So what I'm saying is he gave the Lord something to work with. It's kind of like faith. Faith without works is dead. Sometimes you just have to put yourself in that position, at least for us. And then you'll find yourself, of course he enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I enjoyed it too. But I do believe putting yourself in that position to cultivate your marriage, even if you don't feel like it, but you making that first step and the Lord will meet you there.
That's a big deal. I want to go back into, you were saying how your desire for having kids was so strong.
Yeah.
It has been my general understanding that most women tend to have the desire for children more than men. Not that men don't.
Right,
and there
right.
are some men that have it more than women. So I don't want
to.
There are a handful.
I believe it. Yeah.
But I wanted to read a study. So I found this, a recent study that came out. I'm just going to read the results and see if they resonate with what you guys, your experience has been. It says, having children was more important to wives than husbands. Wives were more involved in trying to have the baby, wanted to talk with their partner more about trying to have a baby, and experienced a greater sense of loss of self-esteem than their husbands did. Mm. To the extent that the husbands saw having children as important, were involved in trying to have a baby, or wanted to talk with their wives about having to try about trying to have a baby, the quality of a marital communication when discussing infertility was less negative, and in turn, wives perceived a more positive effect of infertility on their marriage. And this is their conclusion. See if you all agree. Increase in the husband's interest and involvement in the fertility treatments may lead to positive change in couple communications about infertility and a more positive effect of infertility on the marriage.
I agree.
What do you think?
I agree with that.
Team effort.
Okay. So I know this is going back a little bit, but did you kind of find that the desire to have a baby during your season of infertility was more so for you than Will?
Yeah, it felt like that many, many times. I knew he always wanted a baby.
Yeah.
But to me, it always seemed like his attitude was more like, yeah, that'd be nice.
I mean,
Who, okay. If we get there.
I know our audience can't see if you're listening on the radio, but quick show of hands, who of you have done the most doctor's appointments, phone calls? All hands up. it's usually not the husbands. And I think I'm going to break this down for just a minute. See what you think.
Break it down, kids.
I think that it's not necessarily a bad thing that the desire is greater for us. Sometimes we view it as that because we're like, don't you want this? And what we're mad is that they don't want it as much as we feel. They're not showing their feelings like we are showing our feelings. And the Lord had to deal with my heart on that. And it was like, isn't it enough that he does want children.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
why does he have to? And I actually think it could have a negative impact on the marriage right. if both people Ooh. Had this, like, drive. Like, because sometimes.
That'd be all you could think about.
Yeah, we can lose That's our minds true. Sometimes, and we need someone to check us and right. be like, hey, this is not everything in life. There's, let's balance this out a little bit.
Yeah. You're ministering to me right now because this was a talk Lamar and I had actually just a few weeks ago. I said, I just wish you would cry sometimes about it. and he said, babe, I'm hurt, yeah. but that's just not me. And basically, yeah. I wanted him to be like me.
Yeah. But right, who would hold us can you imagine if you came home and your husband was just all, every day you came home and he's like, I don't have a baby.
I don't want it every day, Kendra, just sometimes.
Well, I would be like, well, get over it. Like, stand up. He knows that's how it would
and
be.
And again, this is stereotyping. So we understand some husbands do feel it more so than the women.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
not to say that. I'm just saying God often opposites attract and that's our true. Differences are something God wants us to embrace and yeah. see the positives of and not just focus on the negatives. And it's really easy when you're the one scheduling the appointments and doing all of the things because yeah. because the desire is stronger, we tend to do the things. But what that study made me think of is that, like, guys, listen up. This is my husband. Sometimes he'll say, tell me what you want me to do. Listen up. We're going to tell you. We want you to take an active role in yeah, helping yes, us come true. Up with the yes. solution. Now, that doesn't mean you have to be doing all of the phone calls and everything, but just do one small act to show us that we're a team.
Very, yes. very good.
You know, yeah. once we've prayed about it, and this is important too, making sure that we're on the same page with what the decision is. What are we right. doing a treatment? Are mm-hmm. we going to try it at home? Are we mm-hmm. just waiting and trusting? Whatever God together lays on your heart and you decide and you come together and you form that plan, work as a team towards that yeah. and don't let one partner do all of the heavy lifting.
Yeah. Well, and you're saying together multiple times and I definitely think that's so important yeah. because if one person is, you know, looking up everything about an adoption to have a baby that way or looking up everything IVF or yeah. whatever this looks like for yeah. you, but the other person really isn't on board.
Yeah.
That is literally what's going on in your life is separating you and your mm-hmm. husband yes. from the get-go.
Come on in.
And so I definitely, I know it's hard, especially us as women, it's hard yeah. to wait and go to, you know, it's hard to hear like, I'm not ready to do that yet.
Yeah.
But I'm not saying, you know, the word submit, I feel like is such a negative word
Culture.
These days.
Yes.
It's such beautiful. A negative.
It's them fighting words.
Yeah. Like, don't tell me to submit. Yeah. Excuse me. But it is what okay. us as women are called mm-hmm. to do yeah. in the word. And so if you, now, you need to have a God-honoring husband
right.
that loves you like Christ loves the church because
sure.
that is what he's called to do.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
And so if he is doing that in his mm-hmm. role, you can put your trust in him that mm-hmm. he is going to make the right decisions for your family. Mm-hmm. And so Amen. Will and I, that had, good, that man. Took a while to
yeah.
for me to be like, okay, fine, you yeah. know.
Because sometimes they may want to put the brakes on sooner than we do.
Yeah.
Or there might be
I
a,
can see that
do you want to do this treatment, yes or no? And especially when it comes to finances.
Finances, sure. yeah. that's
finances
that's
are scary.
We had a just, whole episode
we're
about
to
that.
Do, or, the episode hasn't come out yet
yes.
as we're recording
as we're
putting
right now.
Sorry, I messed up Kendra's timeline
no,
so
you're
many
good,
times.
You're good. As of you hearing this, it will be out. You can go
it's
back
out.
And listen to it. End of 2023,
so
it
look
airs.
That up.
But so many arguments between couples. That is such a divisive thing when finances come in,
yes.
involved.
Yeah.
And I read this quote that said, like, God gave you your spouse to complete you, not to frustrate you.
Yeah, yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
And so if one of you is like, let's do this, and the other is like, let's not, there's like, it's a checks and balances by having two different people from two different perspectives. So, like, yeah. accept, like, lean into that rather than feeling like my husband or my wife is going to keep me from
right.
having what I need. And I would say don't, if you're thinking of taking on any debt, do not make that decision unless you are in complete agreement.
Both right? of you. I totally mm-hmm. agree with that because you don't want to be paying on something for the next 20, 30 years because mm-hmm. it is ridiculous, which if you just mm-hmm. listen to that episode that yeah. you did yeah. on finances, how much finances are. Yeah. But I wanted you to, okay. I'm ready to get
well,
to.
Well, hang on a second. I got one more
okay.
question for you, Jay. I'm
oh,
sorry.
Oh,
I'm not
okay.
putting you on a
right, get on
go.
In.
I'm going deep here.
Oh,
all right.
Hit it with
so,
me.
So let's talk about the aspect of both physical intimacy and emotional intimacy in marriage and how that is affected by all the issues of infertility.
Yes.
How does that make it harder?
That is a great question. I do believe, okay, how does that make it harder? That's a great question. Because we as women, kind of like what you just hit on, you and Anne both, just how we tend to desire it more. Husbands want it, but it's not like, I mean, Hannah, she showed it in the book, the story of Hannah in 1 Samuel. Look how she was at the temple and crying and, you know, and her husband was like,
her husband wasn't crying.
Yeah, he wasn't crying. He was kind of like my husband was at one point. Am I not worth more to you? Yeah. And I had to be honest, you're not. Yeah. So it takes, at that time he wasn't, I have to be honest. Right. Because our husbands, our spouses are supposed to be number one. I don't care what anyone says, you do not neglect your children, but that, like, my first family is my husband.
Right.
Rather, like, before...
Because he'll also be your last family.
Yeah.
Because your kids are...
Because when they grow up, they don't stud you anymore. And is that a word? It is. Mm-hmm. But so for us, how do you... that's the emotional aspect. And so when that emotional aspect is affected, it can kind of be hard to get in the mood. Mm-hmm. But I will say, I gotta be honest, my situation is a little different in terms of... So I used to tell my husband, I was the male, he was the female. What I mean by that, that stereotype is a lie. Women, there are women who desire intimacy more than their husbands. I'm one of those. Yeah. My husband at that time did not, but he now is on some shots, so he's right there with me. And so I'm trying to be, look, I don't want anybody emailing y'all acting like Song of Solomon's not in the Bible, because they get real and raw in there, y'all. There's that a chapter where they're talking about a certain type of way of intimacy. You know what I'm, chapter 8. You know what I'm talking about? Chapter 8.
Some people's making notes. I'm going to go read
it. The Bible. It's in the Bible.
Yeah, the husbands that listen. Song of Solomon. Yeah.
Chapter 8. Babe, read this. So for us, he always wasn't physically in the mood. And so for us, it was through prayer. It was through counseling. Because also we had that step family aspect along with infertility. So through all those things, honestly, it was through the hardships where we got closer. And that was where the Lord... we had the most beautiful intimacy when we came out on the other side, or even when we were in the mist.
Yeah.
So prayer. And I know that may sound cliche, but I kid you not. So just a few weeks ago, my last story, I was not in the mood and he was. Keep in mind, I said he's on shots, okay? And I hope I bring this up because I want men to know. Sometimes you can be the factor and ours is a male factor. And so I was not in the mood and he was. And I want to be available to my husband. That's me. I believe that my body is his and his is mine. That's scripture. I believe it's 1 Corinthians 7 or 2 Corinthians 7. And so I prayed. I went to the bathroom and I said, Lord, I'm not in the mood, but I want to be. Give me the desire. Kid you not. When I walked out, y'all.
And the Lord
and
did
it. And it was beautiful. Do you hear me, y'all? It is a beautiful thing. The enemy wants to bring division. Yeah. And the one way he'll do that is in that bedroom. Because afterwards, like, we had the best day. Like, we went out, hung out. And we do have life happening. But when we connect, it's like a great reminder of the covenant that we made before the Lord.
That's so good, Jay. And I think what I'm hearing in that is you had a desire to serve.
Yes.
So it wasn't all about me. Mm-mm. And that's, marriage is such a give and take in so many aspects. But especially I think when you get into like fertility and timed planning, it can feel like it's this, you know, your intimacy is a chore. And that's, it doesn't have to always be, you know, fireworks. It doesn't. You don't have to put that pressure on yourself. Right. But I think keeping in mind, like, throughout that process, just what, you know, how can I serve my spouse? How can I make sure that they feel cherished, that they feel loved, that they feel respected? And having those like constant check-ins of like, how are you doing now?
And we do that. Am I loving you well? How's your love tank? I've asked him that. And also words. He knows words.
Yeah.
Gets me there every time, you know? And so, but it's like you said, it's being vulnerable, having a heart of serving one another. And that's where we have grown in. We've gone through a lot, and I have not shared everything on the Hannah's Heart show. Maybe the Lord will lead us to do that. So for me to say that my marriage is in a place where we enjoy each other, not only intimately, physically, as well as emotionally, it is by the grace of God. Because I will leave it with this. We've been separated before due to infertility issues and step family. Family issues. It is by the grace of God. God gains more glory from marriages that fight to stay together. And I just want to say, please do not allow infertility or miscarriage to mess up your marriage. You fight for that marriage. Amen. You pray for it. You do not have to be intimate all the time, but you be honest with the Lord. Lord, I'm pouring out my heart and I want my marriage to make it, because that is the number one relationship and family you'll ever have.
Amen.
Because those kids, they grow up, y'all. They grow up.
What was that movie, Dan?
Y'all need to watch the video stream. It's more exciting.
They grow up, and you know, and I look forward to having
Except
my baby.
There's a black girl and a white girl doing this. That looks a little different.
You got rhythm.
Well, I have more questions for you, but I'm gonna go to Anne. If we have time, we're gonna come back.
Okay.
So, Anne, you're in the middle of, like, I can't even imagine picking up the pieces from losing your precious little baby, John Micah, and the grief cloud. Like, I don't know how you start to take practical steps. Like, even just getting up in the morning, and you're here and you look great. And I know behind the scenes, like, it has to be so excruciating to start trying to find a new normal. But I want to talk a little bit about what things have you and Will done to try to help cling to each other and support each other during that.
So if you've listened to Hannah's Heart long, you've probably heard Will on the show a few times, and I'm sure you can pick up just how sweet he is, even just over the mic. Mm-hmm. And so Will has always loved me well. Mm-hmm. And he hasn't changed not one single bit through, you know, literally the hardest days of our lives. Mm-hmm. I can't think right now of anything that would be harder, and I don't want to learn of anything that could be harder. It's a choice now. Mm-hmm. I feel like that on his hardest days, he still chose to love me and get up off the bed when he didn't feel like it, to make sure. I mean, I had a C-section, and so he was walking me to the bathroom. He was washing my hair for me. He was washing my face, you know, putting my feet up in the bed for me, getting my feet out of the bed for me, you know, so many different things where he, and he didn't feel like doing that. He always feels like being there for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to say that. But he's sitting there living through his worst days, you know. And then the same for me. We've had to grow in grace so much where we have to just kind of, you know, realize, like, that's what his grieving looks like today. That's what her grieving looks like today. And we have to be okay with that because our grieving does look differently. I've said this before, but it's definitely the first time that we've grieved together but also grieve separately because we are grieving so differently. You know, he definitely doesn't cry as much as I cried before I came on the show today. Someone wrote a letter about John Micah, and I for some reason thought I could read it while I was at work, and I don't know why I thought I did, but I could do that. But it's really, really hard. And for anyone that has felt this, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I'm so sorry. If you've had to bury your baby or pick out an outfit for your baby that's too big because they don't make anything small enough, I'm sorry. And so it's hard. Christmas is hard this year. But my babies, you know, you're talking about focusing on Christ. I have to remember that Christmas isn't about John Micah. But, man, we were singing at church Sunday. We were singing Silent Night, and it hit me a lot different this year, Sleep in Heavenly Peace. Mm-hmm. And it got to me. Mm. It did, because I know my baby's soul is in heaven, but my baby's body is not. And so, you know, sleeping in heavenly peace just is different this year when you sing about it and think about it. But I don't know if that's answering your question.
I did. And I just want to say, too, seeing you and Will cling to each other and support each other, going against the stat of the 90%, the enemy has to be so mad. He has to be so mad because you guys are a living testimony. I know it is only through the power of Christ that you guys are not on drugs. And I'm serious because a lot of people go into substances after losing a child. Yeah. And the fact that you guys are still see hope and that you're still pointing to Christ is all God and you're all sweet. Glory to Him. And if anybody else has gone through, whether it be a miscarriage or child loss or any kind of tragedy like that, just know the enemy, he's coming for your marriage, but it is possible in Jesus to hold together. Like it might seem impossible, but it is, all things are possible through Christ who gives us strength.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Well, and that's something I can't imagine because Will is my best friend. And so I can't imagine if our relationship was also now rocky. Mm-hmm. I remember the first time we sort of argued after John Micah, I cried. And I don't, like, arguments don't bother me. I'm fine with, like, look, we're going to argue. It's just like that. But I cried because I was like, we don't do this. We don't need to, you know, we don't need to argue after John Micah. Like, there's really nothing worth arguing about after a baby has died.
Yeah.
Because it all fades really away. So many people have told us, like, oh, building a house, because we're in the process of doing that. Building the house, that's the hardest thing your marriage will ever go through. And I was like, it's not. It's really not. So anyway, losing John Mike has definitely shifted our perspective of what's important and what's worth arguing about. And
eternity seems a lot more in the forefront of your mind when you have a baby that's there.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. It makes me desire heaven every minute of every day.
Well, the show is almost done, but I would love to have a really, really brief prayer for any couples that maybe their marriage is struggling. Jade, would you mind closing us out in prayer?
Sure. Man, I would be happy to. Father God, I just thank you so much, Lord, for the union of marriage that you created all the way in the beginning of Genesis. You said it was not right for man to be alone, and that is when you gave him a woman from his rib. Father, I just lift up all these marriages, Lord, every person that's listening. Lord, I ask that you would penetrate the hearts of every wife and husband, Lord. Mm-hmm. Give them a desire to want to honor the covenant that they made before you. Yes, I am so aware that when we desire to honor our covenant, we will fight for our marriage. When we know that we are aiming to honor you, God, you gain so much glory from marriages that fight to stay together than those that leave. So, Father, I just ask that you would gain much glory, Father, as they fight and aim to honor you, Lord. Lord, areas where there's pride, I ask that you would, you said in your word, you oppose the proud and give grace to the humble. Yes, I ask that you would lead and guide every marriage, Lord, to humble themselves before you, God, to ask for forgiveness and repent in the areas that's needed. May you be glorified in this situation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, guys, and thank you all for listening to Hannah's Heart.